Hi, this is Sam Lagana with the Los Angeles Rams. Whose house? You are listening to the Los Angeles Rams UK podcast. Undenied worldwide. The Los Angeles Rams. It doesn't get any better than this. Let's go Rams.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of the Early Rams UK podcast, episode 95, preparing the 53. And what we're preparing them for, probably a shit show ahead of us, but who knows what lies ahead. So joining me as always is Andy. Andy, how you doing, mate? Enjoyed your summer off?
I'm good. Oh yeah, I've had a nice summer off, mate. Now it's time to get back into it, but I don't think we're going to be quite as looking forward to recording as we have been in previous years, given the state of us at the moment.
Let's just say until about maybe 2 days ago, our heads have been firmly buried in the sand post-draft. But unfortunately, I think the saying that is going to be a common theme in this podcast this year is going to be, it is what it is. So, yeah, we're here tonight, folks, to go over what was the pre-season for the 2023 season and have a look at our 53-man roster and practice squad. When we come back next week, we'll talk about the season itself. And, I mean, do we want to predict? Who knows? But we'll see.
I think we'll have to do the predictions.
We're going to have to, yeah.
Yeah, we'll get the guys together, get a predictions going, and even do one like in the Discord group or something and just see what everyone's predictions are. Got us going. I think I'd be surprised if anybody else is going over 500, let's put that way.
Yeah. I mean, because when we've done the predictions last year, I think it's going like 14-4 or something like that. Like, I was way off the mark. I think it might be, unfortunately, the polar opposite of that this year, but we'll get to that next week. So first of all, we need to go over what was the pre-season. So the Rams had two home fixtures in the pre-season, at home to the Chargers and the Raiders, and then they travelled to Denver for the Broncos. Andy, already know the answer to this, and you already know an answer to as well from me. How much of the pre-season did you watch?
I watched one quarter, which was the Denver game, and that was it. With the times being at like gone, 2 a.m., there was no way I was staying up till the wee small hours. But I thought, you know what, I'd give the Denver game a little go and see what it was like. And like I said, I didn't even get to the end of the first quarter. I just went, yeah, off bed, goodbye. I'm not watching any more of this.
Yeah, I don't understand why it has to be, well, for us here in the UK, it has to be at 2 a.m. when you consider the times of the games during the regular season. It makes it really difficult for international viewers to actually, watch the games, because, 2 o'clock to 5 a.m. UK time is just, you can't stay up for it. So it's like you go to bed to get up and then you need to go back to bed to get up for work the next morning. It's just, it's unfortunately not doable. For myself, I only watched the highlights of the Chargers games. I think I saw enough off of that game. I thought, I'll just check in the highlights maybe in the other two games, and then I just didn't bother when, especially the Broncos game, the scoreline. But, we seem to be kind of playing the Chargers almost annually now. And, one tiny bit of LA, they see it as, like the LA Bowl, as if who really runs LA. But it's always kind of meaningless to us, I guess. So you said you watched the first quarter of the Raiders game. Did you see any of the
game
from the Chargers game?
Didn't watch any. I saw a few highlights of like Stetson Bennett and what have you. To be honest, in that first game, didn't look too bad, and there was a little bit of hope for him. But overall, I saw the score and I was just like, I don't want to watch the Chargers beating us. I hate watching the Tenants beat us at any time, yet alone, So I was like, I just watched a few of his highlights, and yeah, he made some boneheaded plays, and then he seemed to, to be honest, recovered and started to look a lot better. He seemed to, once he made the mistake, settle into the game. And, sort of at that point, I was like, okay, maybe there might be something with this guy. But yeah, that was about it for me.
And exactly the same take. For me, it was more about getting to see Stetson Bennett play and see what he was capable of. And I mean, in general, he didn't have a bad performance. Like you said, made a few mistakes. Wasn't too bad, I guess. I thought, well, bit of time, you know, with someone like Stafford ahead of him. You know, he's got that veteran to mentor him. It could be a good fit long term. But then the next two games, he just didn't really do anything. He was actually a top scorer for pre-season, obviously. I mean, we only amassed, 34 points across the three games. And, you know, he contributed to 12 of those points. So it was, I don't really want to see you call it the start of the pre-season, because there wasn't really any stars from it, especially in the last game against the Broncos. But I mean, from what I did see against the Raiders, whilst it, like, the Chargers game wasn't too bad a performance, you know, and bear in mind, we're playing like third and fourth stringers here, who are probably going to be starters, let's be honest, on our roster this year, if when injuries start hitting. But you don't, like, where teams are, you've said before, Andy, in the preseason, a lot of our teams will play their starters, whereas we bench them, and we use the preseason as a chance to see, well, what are the guys on the kind of development side of the roster, how are they looking, is anyone going to be stepping up or whatnot? And like last year, we had Lance McCutcheon step up, whereas this year, really, I just didn't feel like anyone stepped up. From the Raiders game, was there any kind of anything you took from it, anything positive at all?
Ethan Evans looks like a decent punter. That's about all I can take from it, to be honest. Literally, that's all I can take from the game. He does look like he's a good strong leg, good boomer, good hang time with the ball. And, you know, if he can keep up like that, then, you know, we've potentially got him for 4 years on a nice cheap rookie contract. And, you know, that's either special teams at least sorted out. That's it. That's literally all I can take.
Well, I mean, on Ethan Evans, I remember when we looked at the post-draft episode we did, and we looked at his kind of highlights, and it was one thing we did pick up on. He seems to be like, you know, punting that ball pretty high, and there's a good amount of hang time on it. I actually fought for a second, because we've always got one now, and we'll come to that. We didn't have a kicker really on the team after, you know, Tanner Brown was cut. It did make me think for a second, well, I've seen this guy kick field goals. From, are they actually going to ask him to do punt and kicking, you know, to, you know, cut back on the roster? But it seems that we're kind of set on this guy, and it does look like he's got a bit of a leg on him, which is, I guess, good, because he's probably going to be put to work a lot, which isn't maybe, you know, you're saying like he's on a cheap rookie deal. It's probably not going to be a good thing, though. Because, you know, by the time the end of that rookie deal comes, if this guy's like out there a lot punting, he's going to then want the money. So, you know, you want to keep your punters on the bench so you can pay them less, I guess, in the long term.
But yeah, how much the punters really take compared to the draft, you know, compared to other players, you know, they're still probably one of the cheapest positions.
Yeah.
At that point, you kind of, you know, like we did with Hecker, mate, we just pay him, you know, and you're sorted on that front. And I think we found over the last few years that if your special teams is pants, that it can affect the team, you know, at clutch moments when we need that. You know, and I'm hoping that the team has learned that mistake. And that's why they've moved on quickly from someone like Brown, who wasn't getting the job done, and, you know, trying to make sure that at least that side of the team is settled in.
Well, you think, like, a few years back when we drafted Sam Sloman, it's our kicker to replace, you know, Greg the Leg, and like, it's just, you know, Sloman just couldn't get going. You know, cut him. I can't remember. We brought someone else in before we brought Matt Gay, and I forget the guy's name, but he didn't do any better. Then obviously we stumbled upon Matt Gay, and unfortunately, like, we couldn't afford to keep him. So it's one of those ones. It's like, in hindsight, I don't see why we even bothered to bring Brown in when there was other guys that, you know, like veterans, I guess we could have just turned it straight away. But, you know, more on that later, I guess. So as for the Broncos game, you know, it's obviously it's a 41-0 loss, shout. And, I mean, I saw a few clips of the game, and the first thing I actually went to check was Russell Wilson playing? You know, obviously too busy counting how many toilets he's got in his house. He wasn't playing. But the biggest take I actually took from the game wasn't actually to do with our performance. It was to do with the fact that I think it was the Broncos' leading receiver from that game got cut, and he had like over 100 yards against us, and they still cut him.
Yeah, I didn't understand that. And I was kind of like, oh, could we pick him up and maybe stash him? But You know, the team seems quite set with Dakota Allen, and, you know, Hunter Long has been getting rave reviews off Tyler Higbee throughout the preseason. Yeah. So, you know, I think maybe they're quite happy there. But yeah, the whole lot was a complete and utter shambles. It was, I'd say, I only watched the first quarter and it was like, oh my God, if this is going to be our defense and we're letting this guy, you know, I can't remember who their quarterback was at the time, but he looked like Patrick Mahomes or, you know, you know, prime Drew Brees, the way he was slicing us apart, you know, and they were just running all over us as well. They literally couldn't stop anything. And then obviously Trey Tomlinson got disqualified from the game for what, in fairness, it was a stupid thing, you know, to grab the guy's face mask and rip him down by his face mask. He kind of, you know, the guy was lucky he didn't get his neck broken the way he went down, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, and even when we had the ball, you know, offense just couldn't do anything. But again, it was the O-line again as well, just wasn't protecting, didn't give the guy, you know, as much as Bennett regressed a little bit, the O-line just wasn't giving him any time at all to be able to do anything, because it was like ball snapped and there was two or three of their players surrounding Bennett at times, and you're just like, oh my God, you know, if this is potentially what could be if we start getting, as you say, injuries and our back there, our backups for the year, you're like, oh my God, Stafford will be flipping killed by fucking week two, week three. He'll just be like, forget it, I'm retired now. I was kind of thinking to myself, I'm half expecting an announcement now any day, you know, for staff to do an Andrew Luck and just go, forget this, I'm not fucking playing it this year, I'm out, I've retired.
Well, I mean, on Stafford, I'm taking you saw Kelly Stafford's comments the other day about how he's struggling to connect with all these young guys on the roster. I read it and my immediate reaction was like, shut up, Kelly. Shut up, because that's not stuff you want to get out there in the press. Like, he's going about, like, I need staff to print pictures of these guys' faces because I don't know who they are and I'm struggling to connect with them. Like, I know staff doesn't deal with social media. There's something about, like, oh, they're always on their phones. I'm like, well, I'm sure the older guys are the same. Like, so it's a weird comment, but it's like, what, like, you'd be doing without it, because it makes Stafford sound a lot older than he actually is.
Yeah, it just makes them seem snobbish that I don't want that they're not doing what I want, so I don't want to know. You know, and that makes me think that there's something wrong with the locker room. There's something, you know, fundamentally wrong in that locker room. And this is, you know, again, you know, I love McVay, but this is where, as McVay, should be turning around saying, right, between this time and this time, your phones go in your locker. You don't think, you know, to get that team bonding going, you know, or for somebody like an AD or Havenstein or Higbee, one of the vets, to basically step up and say, right, you know what, guys, that lot disappears. Because, I mean, I don't know if you've been watching Hard Knocks, but, you know, you see somebody who's even older than Stafford in Rodgers connecting with these young guys, you know, with the Sauce Gardeners, the Garrett Wills. He's already formed that bond and that thing of, right, okay, you know, they've gone and done stuff like, you know, gone to plays and gone to basketball games and football, you know, or soccer, as they call it, games and what have you. You know, so you're looking at it and you go, well, hang on, he's even older than you, mate. And if he can manage it, why can't you do the same thing? So is that something with the locker room that's wrong? And is that fundamentally something that's maybe wrong with Stafford, that he's basically, you know, not willing to maybe put that effort in to get to know these guys?
It's a bit of a worry. Like I said, that's why I'm like Kelly, please, like, shh, don't be like putting stuff like that out there, because it does breed, like you said, that there's, I don't want to say necessarily a split in the locker room, but more that, like you're saying, that they're disconnected in certain areas. There's ways you could look at it. You could look at it from the point of view that It shouldn't be just about like Stafford trying to connect with these guys. If, you know, if that's how he's feeling, these young guys potentially aren't trying to connect with him. And perhaps maybe that's the comment saying that, like, these guys that are coming in, like all these young guys, they seem to be in their kind of bubble, you know, they're still green, you know, and it's one of the ones that, like, they'll, you know, when the season starts, you know, come week one, they'll be in for a shock if that's the case. So it could be a case of what she's saying is totally out of context for what she's actually trying to kind of get across. But, I mean, I'd rather there was no talk whatsoever about, like, what's going on in a locker room like that. But like you said, the way it's kind of came across does make Stafford sound, you know, a lot older than he is, and a lot kind of snobby about, like, these guys, like, I can't connect with these guys. These guys, you know, they're not on my level. They're not on my page or whatever. And it's like, well, I mean, the other thing is, you're a captain, Matthew, so get them on your page, you know.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's, well, and again, like you're saying, like, McVay, you know, the likes of AD, the other captains, like, it's on their job to get everybody on the page. Like, that's why they're captains, I guess, and that's why you've got the coaching staff. That's what they're there for, so hopefully we don't hear any more about this.
I think another thing as well that needs to be, you know, is how is hearing that going to make those young players feel? Are they just going to go, you know, is that going to make that divide bigger now because those younger players are going to go, stuff you, mate, I don't want to know. This is what you think about me. Get, I don't want to know you either. And then is that going to make that divide even wider now because there's that tension in the locker room? And, you know, it's how could that, you know, potentially, as we all know, tension in a locker room can make and break teams full stop anyway. If you have a couple of bad apples or a couple of, you know, problems in a locker room, all of a sudden you're not playing as a team. You're going back to your cliques and your individuals, and, you know, that is not going to bring success to the team.
Yep, that's it. Hope got a bad feeling about this, but hopefully it is the last team we hear of it. But that kind of nice kind of segues us on to the actual roster itself. So obviously, on Tuesday this week, the 52-man cutoff, you know, deadline was reached, and the Rams managed to shave down their roster to 53 men, which was, you know, quite the feat considering at the draft we only had something like 44 players on the roster to begin with. You know, we obviously drafted 14 guys and then signed a ton of undrafted free agents, so we're now whittled down to a 53-man roster. So no surprises. Also, Matthew Stafford's on. It's Stetson Bennett's QB2. We always usually run with two quarterbacks. Brett Ripien's on the pass, the practice squad. How do you feel about the backup situation at quarterback? It was a hot topic last season, Andy, with Wolford and Perkins. How are you feeling about the backup situation this year?
It's one of them. We'll wait and see. I do think Bennett has the potential to be better than Wolford and Perkins. You know, he's more the same style of quarterback as Stafford, so you're not having to adjust the play calling as much, and you can potentially run the same offense, you know. And yeah, people are going to look at his preseason, especially the last couple of games, but, you know, as you said, he's running with threes, fours, and potentially fives at that point. You know, maybe once he's running with the ones, you know, that he may get into a bit more structure and, you know, at least keep the offense going. So I think it's the best we've been backup-wise for a couple of years. But I'm surprised that we haven't kept a third due to the fact that you can keep a third and he doesn't count to your roster spot, you know. So which makes me think, are we potentially maybe looking at bringing another vet in to maybe be that third QB behind, or, you know, to push Stetson Bennett down to that third QB where he can be dressed and on the team, but he doesn't count towards the roster spot. So, you know, I mean, I think there was rumours, was it yesterday or the day before, that we had discussions with Colt McCoy. You know, we sort of had discussions. So, you know, it does make me think, you know, there's normally those rumours, there's normally no smoke without fire. So maybe we have potentially been looking at bringing another guy in that can basically sit there and not be part of the 53, but can still be, you know, the backup if needs be, if Stafford does go down.
Yep. In terms, just on that, like you said about, like, you know, Colt McCoy, the agent, like, someone potentially speaking to him, like, some of the other names that are out there, they're listed as free agents, you know, whether or not you want to take them or not. You know, Carson Wentz getting brought up. He, to be honest with you, that's not in a million years. He's waiting out, I think. He knows he's going to get picked up by someone when an injury start hitting and whatnot. He's not going to want to come in and sit as, like, a, you know, QB3, you know. I mean, is Matt Ryan officially retired? Because he's still listed as an active free agent. mean, but then again, I don't know how believable this list that I'm looking at, you know, can be taken when it's listing, you know, Tom Brady at 46 as a free when he's, you know, he's in his second retirement. But I mean, yeah, Nick Foles is still out there as well.
Yeah.
I mean, there's... The guy, oh no, Jake Fromm's been. Run QB1 the behind the lights. It was Jake Fromm. He was at Buffalo and he was at the Giants. He's just signed for the Commanders practice squad, so he's not available. But there's a few guys out there. I think, like you said, Colt McCoy. Hayfield was playing up. Colt McCoy's probably the best of a bad bunch in terms of availability if we're looking to bring anyone else in there, I guess. So moving on to our running backs, we've got four listed. So Cam Akers, who's in his contract year, is obviously running back one, Kyden Williams and Ronnie Rivers, and then we've got the rookie Zach Evans. Thoughts on the running back situation now, Andy? Bear in mind that we abandoned the run, so how are you feeling with Akers in his contract year?
Yeah, hopefully with Akers, you know, it's just, as you say, it's his contract year. He'll, you know, that'll put that chip on his shoulder to go out and maybe, you know, statistically have his best, you know, season for us. You know, towards the end of last year, he kind of looked like that player again that we drafted. You know, maybe, you know, as people have said before, sometimes it can take you a full year after an injury before players look like themselves again, which would tie in nicely to how he sort of was looking at the end of the year. So, you know, I think in terms of running back one, Cam Akers, yeah, you know what, he's an average NFL QB. And to be honest, as you say, with the way how we play, that's how we just work. You know, yeah. Our days, I think, of, you know, I think we feel like we've been, not us, but obviously the management feel like they were burnt with the Todd Gurley situation. And I don't think they're likely to ever go down that route. And again, this whole Jonathan Taylor talk, I think that was, if we did put anything in, it was kind of, yeah, what do you want for him? You know, just being cheeky, just to, you know, get in the ball and see what they wanted. But I genuinely never thought we were in with a shot to take him, because I never thought, you know, Snead and co would ever pay a running back the sort of $16 million that he wants a year. And, you know, they'd be like, yeah, no thanks, we're not paying you that, so goodbye. You know, the backups do, you know, again, it's a lot of untested players out the backfield. You know, Kyren Williams hasn't shown anything as yet. Ronnie Rivers, I'm not keen on the guy. I don't know, it's just something about him. And, you know, Zach Evans has potential, but he's a rookie, so you just never know with these guys. You know, he could come in and play well, or, you know, he could struggle. But, you know, I am kind of surprised that, you know, we didn't keep someone like Royce Freeman around on the squad as that sort of, you know, veteran head. I know Akers is technically a veteran at this point in his fourth year, but, you know, that veteran running back, and also more of that goal line power sort of guy, you know, who can get you, you know, that, you know, when you're third and one, you know, he can just muscle his way for that yard for us to get that, you know, to keep drives going. With the three that we've got, I don't think any of them really are truly power backs, you know, which can do that. And I'm, you know, that's one thing I'm surprised that we maybe not brought somebody in with that, you know, that big guy who can just get us that 1 yard when we need it.
Yep. Like I said, a little bit like we abandoned the run anyway, so does it really matter? Just as you mentioned Jonathan Taylor, I do think that we, you know, it said that it confirmed that we'd also made inquiries about him. There's no confirmation as to whether any kind of offer was sent, but if there was, I would imagine we would have lowballed the hell out of it just to get a response to see what they were actually looking for. Jonathan Taylor, there was the whole thing about the, he was basically going to be forced to sit the entire year because he is in his contract year. He's going to be up, you know, for free agency, I guess, at the end of the year. And it looks like the Colts want to move on from him. If this was, you know, the offseason, you know, it'd be maybe different because we would have the, you know, space to potentially look at bringing him in. But like you said, Andy, I don't think Snead and McVay are going to ever want to pay a running back again after unfortunately what happened with Gurley. And that, I mean, the thing with Gurley is, you know, we paid him, but it just shows you how short like a player's career span could really be, especially like in that kind of position. It's just bad luck really with what happened with Gurley, and it's a shame because Gurley had every potential, you know, being, you know, the next Steven Jackson, the next Marshall Faulk or whatever for us. He was going to, in my eyes, he could have been up there with those kind of running backs. And, you know, I don't want to say he could have been up there with, you know, Eric Dickerson as well. But, you know what I'm saying? He had the potential of being, you know, a great for us. And unfortunately, his career was cut short. So moving on to the wide receivers, we've got six in the roster. So obviously, Kupp, Van Jefferson, who's in his contract year, Tutu Atwell, who again, there's, you know, the camp footage has been going around again about Atwell. Skoronek, Demarcus Robinson, who we brought in the offseason, and rookie he's not on the pronunciation list. Right? So just to clarify here, folks, right? The other day, we get sent on Discord it's the pronunciation guide for Rams players. Because Michael Hoyt, as I can now pronounce his name, was getting mentioned again. And Puka, as I'll just refer to him, isn't on the list. Which
do you
is
want
annoying.
Me to say it?
Go say it.
Puka Nacal.
Nacal, right, okay. Puka Nacal, who is related to Dana White, which I found out the other week and didn't know. So, yep, that's our wide receiver core. I mean, off the bat, well, let's just, you know, call it right now. Let's just hope Kupp stays healthy for the whole season, eh, Andy?
Yeah, you know, Kupp is just Kupp, you know. We know it's behind him. I do think potentially Van Jefferson, if again he can stay healthy this, you know, again in a contract year, could have a mini breakout year for him and possibly have his best statistical year with us, you know. And
yep,
to be honest, I'd probably like to keep the guy because he's reliable, but, you know, we'll see. We don't seem to like to keep our free agents anymore. You know, Tutu Atwell, yeah, you know, we've had the hype from camp. But again, towards the end of last year, he started to show those flashes, you know, when he was used correctly, that, you know, McVay seemed to finally understand how to use the guy a little bit better, you know. So potentially, you know, he could be battling for that deep threat wide receiver free sort of spot for us, you know. Demarcus Robinson, yeah, you know, decent depth, nothing special, nothing crazy, but decent depth that you can step in if we have injuries or, you know, we really want to play silly and get, you know, four wide receivers on the field at once to really, you know, play about with it. Benny Sko, you know, fullback extraordinaire, but, you know, seems to, you know, just slowly gets better, I feel, every year. You know, you see him every year, he seems to just be getting a little bit better, that little bit better, you know. And I think at this point, he's borderline one of them weird wide receiver, tight end hybrids, sort of. He can play, you know, quite a few positions for us. And then again, another one that's been getting quite a bit of camp height is Puka Nacal, you know. Yeah. But I think The only unfortunate way he's probably going to see the field, unfortunately, is if Kupp is injured, because he's more of a slot wide receiver, which is Kupp's primary position for us. So the only way I think this year we will potentially see that guy rely quite often is if, unfortunately, Kupp does get injured, which, you know, fingers crossed, doesn't happen. So as much as, you know, I did like the signing when we drafted him, I'm kind of hoping he doesn't see the field this year, because the Cups will be there all year, you know, balling out for us.
Yep. Tight ends. I've got Tyler Higbee, who I've seen had his hair cut and I didn't recognise him yesterday. Bryson Hopkins, Hunter Long, and rookie Davis Allen. Anything to say about the tight end situation, Andy?
No, obviously Higgs is going to be tight end one. We all know that. Yeah. And it's a bit of a mix behind them. One thing I will say, obviously, coming out of pre-season and camp, is that, you know, both Davis Allen has been getting quite a bit of hype and McVay seems quite high on him, but yeah, also Tyler Higbee has been quite, you know, bigging up Hunter Long for what he's done in pre-season, you know, and how well he's looked, you know. And the guy, when he came out, you know, drafted in the third round by Miami, you know, from Boston College, you know, he was a highly recruited tight end, just never got his chance because he had players like Mike Gesicki in front of him. So, you know, potentially he could, you know, any of the three that we've got could potentially take that wide, you know, tight end two spot. But I'm kind of hoping it'll either be Allen or Long, because I don't know. There's just something about Hopkins. Again, I just don't think he's ever fully developed in the position.
No.
And again, I think it's this Hopkins contract year. I can't remember. So, you know, potentially I'd rather see one of the other two maybe take that position and run with it.
Yep. And then we round off the offense. We come to the elephant in the room, the offensive line. So we've got Brian Allen, Coleman Shelman, Joe Noteboom, Treyman Ancrum, Alaric Jackson, Rob Havenstein, Steve Avila, our second round pick, Warren McClendon Jr., Zachary Thomas, and Kevin Dotson, who joins us from the Steelers. The offensive line is going to be probably one of the main topics of the season, Andy. This side of the season, you know, before we kind of like, let's call it as go to shit. Have we improved the offensive line at all? Let's maybe start there.
Potentially, yes. I like the drafting of Steve Avila. He gives us something that, to be honest, our offense on the inside doesn't have, which is power and bit of size to him. Most of it, you know, we tend to, like I said previously, want to primarily a Shanahan wide zone style offense, which means they prefer smaller guards who can get off and move and are more athletic. You know, but I think you've seen now a lot of teams, especially in the NFC, have got a lot of power rushes on the interior, and they're just, you know, our guards get bullied week in, week out, week in, week out. You know, so I do like the fact we've put a bit more size and power in the middle, you know, to try and maybe help keep Stafford up. To be honest, you know, Kevin Dotson is a decent guard in himself, so potentially could maybe take that right guard slot. You know, there's still the question marks with tackle and center, but you know, if we can get the left tackle sorted out and your center's then your weak point, you know, most NFL teams, they're not as worried about the center because they can be protected by double teams and running backs and tight ends coming in to help them out a little bit more. But you know, you'd again, Brian Allen, you don't know what, if you're going to get a full season out of him because he's always permanently, you know, injured for half a year. So, you know, I think it's all going to depend to me on what week one we sort of start with and who our starting five is, because I think it's still, you know, up in the air. I think at the moment, people have potentially got, I think the general consensus for the starting at the moment is Noteboom left tackle, Avila left guard, Allen at centre, Treyman Ancrum at right guard, and obviously Rob Havenstein at right tackle.
Yep, that's maybe
Ancrum dropping out and maybe Kevin Dotson maybe taking over that position. I'd be a little bit more comfortable with it. I don't know. It's a toss-up between Allen and Shelton at centre. Who would I rather go with? Again, you know, we just have to wait and see, I think. I say it depends who starts week one. But for me, you know, there are some improvements, but I don't think it's as, you know, there's still a lot of question marks as well as to certain positions and how well it can hold up throughout the year. And obviously, you know, as you've seen before, as I said, Allen's injury prone, Noteboom's injury prone, you know, Havenstein's starting to get up in age a little bit. And to be honest, I didn't think he was the same player last year. And I was a few times last year critical of Havenstein. He almost had this, yeah, I'm getting paid, I don't give a shit attitude now, or, you know, he's starting to drop off. You know, we can't have that again this year. You know, and I think Havenstein potentially is also in his contract year for an extension. So, you know, I'm hoping that he can improve and get back to what he can be, you know, and maybe Noteboom and maybe Allen can stay healthy and maybe progress again. you know, we'll see what happens. But I think the big shock for me was the fact that Bruce got cut. You know, I think everyone was expecting them to be the starting right guard. And yeah, right, he didn't look good in preseason, you know. But I was actually quite shocked that they basically, you know, were like, yep, yeah, you initially cut, you know. But like I said at the time on the Discord group the other day, when, you know, the cuts happened, I was like, you know, he missed his rookie year through injury. So yeah, he's a year behind on that development. So maybe dropping him, putting him on the practice squad for a year to get that development time in, and then maybe next year he can come back in again and, you know, pick up his career again. You know, his career's not over. Sometimes when, you know, especially for a lineman, when they've been injured the whole rookie year, they come in the next year, which is basically their technically rookie season. They do still look raw because they've not had that year's progression that, you know, other, if he'd have either played the full season or at least maybe not even played the full year, but at least been practicing with the team all year, you know, to get the reps in, to get the coaching in, which he's not had. So, you know, I'm not going to write off Bruce just yet, you know, but it was kind of surprising that he got dropped initially.
So, flipping over to the other side of the ball, we move over to the defensive line. So obviously AD's there. It's, you know, we've got changes across the board here, really, I guess, because, you know, Greg Gaines and Ashaun Robinson have left. So alongside A&D, we've got Jonah Williams, Larrell Murchison, Bobby Brown the third, Ernest Brown the fourth, and then rookies Kobe Turner and Mr. Irrelevant, Deshaun Johnson. How are you feeling about the defensive line there, Andy? I'm not really confident myself about any kind of, you know, edge rushing off of that. Kobe Turner, and his kind of like college highlights, his draft film looked pretty decent. And at times quite excited about that kind of pick, but it's just, I feel like it's just going to be down to AD to try and, you know, beat the men to get, you know, a rush coming there.
Yeah, it feels like with the front three there, it's going to be right triple team AD and then just use a tight end and a running back on the other two and away you go sort of thing. You know, it's not going to be, well, you know, stick all five offensive linemen on AD and then just have the tight end and the running back for the other two at the moment. Yeah. Just, you know, and I think this was something even through preseason, we were, you know, where's the pressure going to come from other than AD? Yeah, there's players, you know, they could pleasantly surprise us, you know, would come in and, you know, ball out, but I just don't see it at the moment. You know, even more worrying is the run defense. I just really, you know, a lot of these guys are undersized. We don't have a traditional, you know, 330 plus pound nose tackle on the team who can just eat up double teams in the middle and, you know, in the run game. And, you know, we were soft and squishy last year, and it feels like this year is going to be even more, and teams are just going to just run all over us. You know, the quarterbacks, you know, you can see some of the top running backs, you know, 150, 200 yard games against that front at the moment because, you know, it's just so soft. Again, they could step up, and maybe, you know, Bobby Brown in his third year could maybe step up and actually show, you know, he could play that more of a nose tackle position, you know, and eat the double teams, but he's unproven so far. You know, it's a lot of unproven players, and that's the thing, is it's unproven. These guys could hit and be, you know, perfect, or they could be a complete waste of space. And, you know, it's so much it's just so variable as to what we're gonna get. But, you know, the offense isn't as much as a problem for me. It's the defense this year that really bloody worries me, that this team is just gonna get cooked. And you know the offense are gonna have to put, you know, it's gonna be like the Chiefs game a few years ago. The offense are gonna have to be putting 50 plus points up just to have a chance of beating teams.
Yeah, I mean, if anything, it's good. You know, it's not great for defensive stance, but, you know, if our offense can put up, you know, 50 points again, then it's, you know, brilliant. It's great to watch, I guess. As long as we come top, but yeah, the kind of consensus that is getting taken is based on our defense. Our offense are going to have to put up a shed load of points because that's what our teams are going to put up against us.
Yeah, I think the analysis at the moment is basically we have the second worst defense in the whole NFL.
Who has the worst?
Cardinals as the worst defense, and we're number two. Yeah. And it's like very, very close between the two of us. And it's literally, but a lot of analysts are basically saying, you know, it literally is that close. Either we're going to be the worst or the Cardinals, it's going to be one of us that's the worst defense. You know, and for a team that traditionally has ran a decent defense, you know, this is kind of worrying. You're telling me we couldn't have kept some of our defensive players. You know, Greg Gaines signed for Buttons, basically. You can't tell me we couldn't have brought him back. You know, as much as we cut Jalen Ramsey, you're telling me, you know, with the dead cap we're taking, we couldn't have kept him on. You know, and just going on dead cap. I had a look, and basically, one third of our salary cap this year is in dead money. We're literally spending $77 million in dead money. That's a third. Like I say, that's basically a third of our cash, available cash, is basically going to nothing. And you know, is it worth it? Really, for you know, and this is why when people say, "Oh, we're not tanking for the number one spot," I'm thinking, "Yeah, we are." Or we may not be. They may not be outright saying we're tanking for a top three pick, but this team potentially is going to be tanking for a top three pick, and you know, but that's the fact that we're eating so much dead cap. Just really, you know, like we've said for the past few years, you know, the bullet has to be bitten at some point, and we're going to get. And this, obviously, unfortunately, this is the year that I think the Rams have had to basically just reset, drop everything, and basically say, "All right, we're going to have to basically." And I think the plan is to hopefully have a quick rebuild where we can, you know, we're going to free up cap space next year. We're going to, you know, potentially, you know, have still players who are potentially still in the prime, like AD and Cup, and then quick rebuild and get back to the super, you know, that playoff team again as quickly as possible, rather than the long slog of, you know, the 8 and 9 years of Jeff Fisher, where it was just year after year of, you know, average.
Well, it's not really good news, but it's literally just kind of broke there that Cup has had a setback with his hamstring injury, and he wasn't dressed for practice, I believe, today, and he's, you know, been mucked his day to day. So, you know, we're not getting off to a good start already with this. Just continuing through the defense. So, in the linebacker core, we've seen quite a few changes. So, on the outside of the lineback, we've got Mike Hoyt. Can pronounce his name right, as well as rookies Byron Young, Nick Hampton, or Sean Mathis, alongside Zach Van Valkenburg, who was on a practice squad last year. The inside, we've got Ernest Jones, Christian Roseboom, and Jake Hummel, who got a pick six in the preseason. Quick thoughts on the linebacker core, Andy, just before we move into the defensive backs, which I think will probably take up a lot of time.
Ernest Jones, and then again a bunch of unknowns. You know, Byron Young has potential, but you know, he's a 25-year-old rookie. You know, but I'm kind of hoping he's the one player I'm sort of going to be keeping my eyes on, because I think he has potential if he can get the coaching right, you know, and hit the ground running. But again, it, you know, especially in the middle, again, it's Ernest Jones and, you know,
the only change we've actually had to the inside linebackers is also Wagner left last year, but so it's the same inside or core as we had last year, just minus, you know, the veteran, like the Wagner, which is, you know, a bit of a loss, because Wagner was one of our better players on defense last year.
The problem is, for me, I think Roseboom hasn't, I don't know, every time he's been on the field, it's always been a penalty. He's always headhunting or making stupid boneheaded mistakes that cost us penalties, you know, late hits and stuff like that. And, you know, Jake Hummel's not, you know, I think he's one of them 215-pound linebackers. So, yep. You know, he's going to get bullied against the run, and, you know, it's not going to help the run game if he's got, you know, he's going to be constantly bullied out. So, you know, where are we going to see, you know, that help alongside? At least last year with Jones and Wagner, you had the, you know, that to help with the run game because you had two full-size linebackers to smash in. You know, we're kind of, you know, going to be struggling again there, I think, with the run. And again, it just pulls back to, we're going to struggle in the run, you know, stopping it because our linebackers, again, aren't going to be able to put the power in to help out, you know. But again, it's a lot of unknowns outside of Ernest Jones, you know. But this year, again, I think it's a case of, right, we've got all these youngsters. Let's see who sticks and who goes for next year, potentially. It's going to be one of them, I think.
Yep. Just as we move into defensive back session, comment match got in from Massimo Dello there. Just also you're talking about like about tanking and whatnot. Like, it's actually a good point. It makes that really. I mean, you know, whilst, you know, let's be honest, the season isn't going to go particularly well for us. You know, let's be realistic here. We'll do the best we can, I guess. It is a good opportunity, I guess, this year. You know, it makes a good point that the younger guys in the roster have got a real chance to come out and prove themselves, you know. And then when we've got the cap space for 2024, you know, and, you know, a full complement of draft picks, albeit I think we've not got a fourth or a fifth or something like that, we can build on it. So, I mean, there is the opportunity for a lot of these guys on the roster to really prove themselves, you know, especially when there's several of them in contract years as well. So, I mean, that's Massimo's comment is probably a good way to try and create a bit of positivity about this season, because we're going to have to find some kind of positivity somewhere. That, fingers crossed, some of the guys that are on the roster that, you know, that are getting a chance to step up now, because, you know, like, say, like your Jalen Ramsey's, your Greg Gaines, and, you know, that I've now moved on, that this is a chance for them to, you know, kind of showcase that, you know, they're hungry and they're willing to fight for it. But, you know, the defensive back situation in the roster the last few years, you know, you've said that yourself countless times, Andy. It's not been great. We're carrying 10 on the roster this season. We've got Kobe Durant, Denning Kennick, Akello Witherspoon, Trey Tomlinson, rookie, Sean Jolly, Jordan Fuller, Rush East, John Johnson III, who I'm really happy to see come back, Quentin Lake, and Jason Taylor II. From what we've seen through the preseason, it's not looking good in the secondary, and we did call it out last year before the end of the year that this isn't going to get any better this year. First of all, John Johnson coming back to the roster, are you happy with that, Andy? Or is that one like, oh, we could have went after someone else?
No, because he's only basically signed for a league min vets contract, so it wasn't too bad. You know, he could potentially, I will say, I don't know whether it was the scheme in Cleveland or what have you, but he didn't look, especially last year, didn't look like the same player, which is, I think, obviously why he got, you know, cut by the Browns, yeah, because he doesn't look the same player. You know, and they did have a, you know, a rookie who, you know, or a younger player who, to be honest, looked better than he did when he came back. But, you know, if he can come in, you know, and potentially be the same player again, then yeah, great. But, you know, I think fans just need to hold off and, you know, the last couple of years he hasn't looked the same player, you know. And, you know, again, he's had injuries himself, which, you know, he was never the quickest player to begin with, which is why his draft stock fell. You know, he's a smart player, but, you know, he was never the most athletically gifted, and, you know, the injuries maybe have slowed him down even more, and he may not be the same player that we had previously. So, you know, yeah, I'm happy he's there, because nothing else, he gives experience and, to be honest, a bit more depth and a bit more, I think, upside than what we would have started with if he wasn't there. But at the same time, you know, I think people just need to hold back a little bit and let's just see first how he, you know, plays throughout the year, you know. But he could be that, it could be a really nice signing for us, you know, and then maybe next year, you know, he's still only, what, 27, 28? So, mm-hmm. You know, he's still within his prime. We could maybe then next year sign him to a multi-year contract when we do have the cap, if he plays well for us, you know, and he goes back to the John Johnson that we know and love. But, you know, I'm just hoping, you know, at some point he can get a pick six or something so we can get our chopper celebration back again.
fingers crossed. Moving on just to the special teams, we're all looking at, we've got Alex Ward, rookie, long snapper, and Ethan Evans, punter, rookie. So no actual kicker on the main roster, Andy. We talked about you for Evans, you know, like I said earlier on about like the draft episode we did. Ace Freak showed the guy can, you know, he can punt it really high, you know, and so it's good at least we've got what seemingly is a very reliable punter. But the kicker situation, Andy, what's your thoughts there?
Yeah, you know, I think we learned the lesson from the Sam Slowen mistake of, you know, if it ain't working, let's get it changed before it's too late. And I noticed that Maya has been signed to the practice squad and not the first, you know, not onto the actual roster, which means for the first three games of the season, he can basically be called up and dropped back to the practice squad on game days. So I see this more as the Rams are basically giving him a 3-week trial, if you like, before they commit to the 53. They basically say, right, you've got a 3-week test here, mate. You play well, you do your job, you know, and you'll stay on the roster. If you're not, well, we'll just cut you from the practice squad and we'll get somebody else in. You know, I think that's how the Rams are playing it, you know. And yeah, all right, he missed a few, you know, especially in the playoffs last year for Dallas. But, you know, he's been consistently a decent kicker. And, you know, like Matt Gay, you know, everyone, when we first signed Matt Gay, we're like, what the heck? He's useless. He's what the hell? You know, and he turned out to be, you know. So maybe with the, you know, a new season, new surroundings, you know, with new coaching staff, may get back to that form that, you know, of a reliable kicker that he was for a number of years. You know, if not, I'd say we can, at the end of the 3-week trial, essentially just, right, kick him off the practice squad, get another kicker in and put him on the practice, and just basically until we maybe hit, we basically hit on someone, you know. Yep. Personally, myself, I don't know why, but I was kind of hoping we'd sign Goggles because he gives. I feel like the guy just got bad luck in Indy, you know, and I think that guy is again bit like Matt Gay, can come into the team. And with a bit of confidence and everything, you know, could have potentially been something. And then he's young enough that we can maybe keep around for a number of years, because obviously Mayer's, what, 33, I think he is now, something like that. So he's not going to be around forever. But, you know, we'll see what happens with him. You know, I think the Rams are kind of doing the right thing here of keeping that roster spot open for players. And maybe there's somebody that, you know, if Mayer does get promoted up to the 53, they'll drop one of these guys that's currently on the 53 to the practice squad. But by week 3, week 4, when they have to do that, you know, most teams have got the practice squads, etc., set, and basically there's less chance of maybe this player getting poached off, whoever it may be, from our practice squad.
So just as you're bringing up, the practice squad obviously has been finalized, and Mayer was the 16th member of that. So just looking at other players, 14 of the 15 other guys that are on the practice squad were with the team throughout training camp and preseason. So we've got AJ Arcuri, Logan Bruss, Marquise Copeland, Royce Freeman, Tanner Ingle, Tyler Johnson, Nikola Kalinic, Mike McAllister, Cameron McCutcheon, Grant Miller, Brett Rypien, Xavier Smith, Kerr Thomas II, Austin Trammell, and the 15th guy returned to the Rams is Troy Reader. So Troy, when I tackle you, you'll drag me 10 yards, Reader. I'm not a fan of Troy Reader, to be honest. I'm go back and listen. Oh, what was it? It was one of the 49ers games. They won the Super Bowl. I can't remember if it was the NFC Championship game or if it was the last game of the season. I commented on how Troy Reader can't actually tackle anyone, because in that game, he tried to tackle one of their wide receivers who then dragged him for 10 yards. You know, and for you know, for a linebacker to not be able to tackle, like, you know, hang up the pads. So hopefully don't see him getting promoted. So hopefully the linebacker core can, you know, stay healthy so we don't have to see Troy Reader. Any guys on that, practice squad that you'd like to see promoted up, Andy? But let's be honest, based on last year, there's a good chance anybody on that practice squad will be playing regular reps as this season progresses. But anyone in particular you want to see promoted up?
I think, you know, Tyler Johnson played reasonably well for us in the preseason at wide receiver. You know, potentially if there's injuries, could step in and do a decent job for us. I don't feel Troy Reader did as bad last year when he was with the Vikings. You know, he seemed to clean up a bit of that tackling stuff. So there may still be hope for the guy yet, you know. And he would be that bigger bodied in the middle, you know, linebacker that, you know, to help maybe try and stop the run a little bit. You know, he wasn't as bad as he has been. Well, he was for us. He seemed to clean maybe a bit of coaching helped clean that up last year. As you say, though, other than that, not really anybody stands out, you know, that you'd say.
I mean, you mentioned Royce Freeman earlier on in terms of the running back core.
Yeah, potentially, but, you know, he's there for a practice squad for a reason. Obviously, he's not, maybe not quite showing it, or, you know, we'll just have to wait and see. But there's nobody that I would be like, you've got to get him now off that practice squad because somebody's about to come and poach him from us and, you know, he's going to ball out, you know, like what happened with John Franklin Myers a number of years ago. You know, look what he's now doing for the Jets. You know, there's nobody like that, which I'm, you know, screaming, you've got to get him off there because somebody's about to nick him and he's going to have a superstar career or anything. You know, there's not none of those on there. You know, they are, you know, backup NFL depth players at best. You know, like I say, I think, you know, Johnson had a decent preseason, you know, showed flashes that perhaps, but then, you know, that was Lance McCutcheon last year. So, you know, you know, who knows? You know, Logan Bruss being on there, potentially get a full year of, you know, on the practice squad, a full year of training in. You know, maybe can next year, step back up and maybe then continue his career with us and, you know, get somewhere. But, you know, we'll just have to wait and see. But there's nobody on there that's going to, you know, I'm screaming, get him up now before he gets nicked.
Yeah. So the last thing I just wanted to go on in terms of the roster was, I think it was today, the 2023 captains were named. So one thing that from seeing the reactions in social media, there does seem to be quite an element of the fan base that forget that the captaincies are selected by, you know, the players themselves. They vote for who they want the captains. This isn't just like, I'm making a new captain. The players decide the guys they want to represent them. So on offense, we've got Stafford, Kupp, Havenstein, and Higbee. Higbee is first-time captain for the Rams. Stafford's in his third year as captain. Kupp is his fourth. And it's Havenstein's second straight year. On defense, AD is his sixth time as captain. He's also now the longest tenured Ram. Jordan Fuller and Ernest Jones. Jones is his first time being a captain and Fuller's second time. Drew, quite a few comments, is Benny Sko. It's good for Benny Sko to get some recognition there, Andy, isn't it? But to anyone out there that is, you know, kind of try to say, like, why is Skoronic, you know, your captain? On the field, he was actually pretty good for his last year. He came into that fullback role out of nowhere, and, you know, he put JJ Watt on his ass, put it that way. You know, a guy that was like three, four times the size of him, he laid him out. You know, he's obviously well liked on the roster. And, you know, for him to get any kind of like stick whatsoever about being captain is unfair. Bear in mind, folks, that the players have picked Benny Sko to represent them on special teams. But in terms of the captaincies, Andy, anyone you're not happy with being captain? And is there anyone that you would have liked to have been a captain?
No, I think the captain's perfectly well, to be honest. You know, obviously, AD, you know, is AD and Kupp as well. You know, if they lost the captaincies, you'd be thinking, yeah, they're about to go out the door on a trade or something. You know, that'd be the only way. You know, I think most teams, the quarterback is always going to be the captain. Obviously, with the news, as we were discussing earlier from Stafford about the whole thing, it kind of makes you worried. Well, hang on, you're a team captain, you know, and this is floating around, but we'll wait and see on that one. Yep. You know, I think Ernest Jones has earned the right to be a captain. I think he's, you know, showing like last year that leadership quality. And, you know, even in this year's preseason, you know, not so much obviously the games, but in training camps and everything, he's really seems to have stepped up and become that. Almost like took over. He's learned off Bobby Wagner last year and has gone, right, this is what I need to be as a linebacker, and has really stepped up, which, you know, is great. And, you know, Benny Sko, I think he deserves the captain spot, to be brutally honest. You know, for what he does, he's versatile. He's good on special teams. He seems to be a well-liked guy around the whole team. So, you know, yeah, I totally agree with it. And, you know, Jordan Fuller, You know, it's sort of when John Johnson left, took over that sort of coach of the back, you know, role, you know, basically sorting everyone out, making sure people are in the right position, you know. So, again, you know, he's liked by the players and has earned that captain's spot, obviously, last year, but has kept it again. So, yeah, nah, I'm happy with the captains throughout the whole team, to be honest, you know, and that they all seem to have some leadership qualities, you know. It's just a case of, I'd like to see, you know, as we've said previously, one or two of them more, the veterans like AD and Havenstein, speak up and open the gobs a little bit more and take that leadership role that, you know, we know they can do.
Yeah.
You know, we saw that in the Super Bowl with AD. He needs to do that, you know, every year now, because
every
he is
a single week,
yeah, the most experienced head on that team now. Yeah, and that's what we need. Step up and, you know, be what we need them to be.
Yep. So, like you said, if you're about likes of him and Havenstein, like, speak, you know, stepping up and speaking up, you know, if you're a captain, you know, that's being a captain on any kind of sports team isn't about, you know, being there for a coin toss or whatever, you know, or some kind of recognition. It's about leadership. It's about having the right kind of like traits to be, you know, a role model on and off the field, but obviously more on the field, and to be able to actually, you know, lead the guys around you and get them playing, pick them up when they need to be picked up, put them down when they need to be put down, you know, make them be accountable for their own actions, make them want to better themselves, you know what I mean? That's the role of a captain. So, I mean, really, you know, it's these guys need to step up for us. They're really going to need to step up for us that for this year. But just moving on to the last thing we wanted to go about. So that's basically us looking at the roster. So, like I said, the start of the episode, folks, when we come back next week, we'll go through the actual regular season itself. But we don't want to be going like another hour here. We've gone long enough as it is. So the last thing we want to also talk about, over the course of this year, we're going to try to talk about fantasy football more. And as part of that this year, we want to talk about the early round UK 2023 Fantasy Football Championship. So tonight we actually had the drafts for our fantasy football championship. So what we've done, using Sleeper for it as opposed to NFL fantasy, we've got 20 teams that are split into technically two conferences. We've got the Vermeil Conference and the McVay Conference, and it should be pretty self-explanatory why we've named them after our Super Bowl winning coaches. Within that, we've got two divisions, five teams each. We've got the Alan Donald Division and Cooper Cup Division. We've got the Marshall Falk and the Isaac Bruce Division. So five teams in each. Fantasy football's usual kind of standard. Like, the teams will play through the season. They'll go through the playoffs. The winners of each conference will be named the conference champions. And then in the final week, well, not in the final week, from the conference championship games, the two winning teams, whoever's got the highest score out of the two of them, becomes our overall fantasy football bowl champion. And stay tuned across the course of the season to hear how that's going. I mean, for, you know, for the overall winner, there may even be a little prize for them as well. Andy, you are in the McVay Conference, if I'm correct. How did the draft go for you?
Yeah, it went fine, mate. Missed out on a couple of players. You know, it was one of them. I was sort of like, oh, are you going to be there in two picks time? I've got him perfect. And then he went, and it's like, bugger, time to quickly rearrange my draft board to what I want again. But overall, I'm happy with the team, and, you know, I know one or two people were sort of questioning why I, you know, took my defense quite early, but for me, defense is one of those that, again, can win you that championship. And, you know, I'd already had a few players that I wanted to snipe, so I was like, right, I don't want to lose out on my what I think is going to be the best defense this year. P.S. It ain't the Rams, I'm afraid, guys. you know, so I was like, right, let's get him before, you know, there's any chance of him disappearing. You know, and I still, after that, still got a lot of, you know, all the players after that I wanted. So I'm happy with the drafts, and, you know, hopefully, you know, I'll be in with a chance of winning it all, hopefully. What about you? How did yours go?
Just for a turn, how interesting, what defense are you talking about?
Jets.
Oh, interesting. My draft went okay, I guess. It was a weird one. Justin Jefferson went first overall in our draft. I was pick number six in the first round. It went three wide receivers, two running backs, and so it left me wide open to take Mahomes with my first pick. But I guess it went all right. I went quarterback, running back, tight end. It's my first three picks. I went all right. In general, like I could look like a draft well on paper, and then you know, as the course of the season, it's absolute, you know, gash basically. It's what it was. I'm just kind of see how it goes. But I was interested that someone picked the Rams for their defense when there was still the likes of like the Chiefs. I guess the Steelers, well, you know, the Steelers, the Dolphins, you know, were still there. So I suppose the person that took the Rams took the Chiefs later. So I guess, you know, the Rams will be their backup defense, maybe.
Well, it's either going to be one of them. It's either going to be a complete waste of a pick or it was a 1,000 IQ move. Who knows?
Who knows? But interesting, well, like I said, Justin Jefferson went first overall in the Vermeil conference. I did see that Cup went first overall in your conference.
Yeah.
Second pick
was Jefferson because that one was mine. So I took Jefferson with my first pick in the first round. So I was number two. But yeah, Cup went one and then Jefferson went for me at number two. So, you know, and then for my quarterback, I took Aaron Rodgers as my main quarterback because, like I say, I don't know if you've not been watching the Hard Knock series, but the dude seems to have a real chip on his shoulder this year that, you know, he's going out there to prove people that he's still that MVP quarterback. And to be honest, his connection with Garrett Wilson is sort of that Rodgers, seems like a Rodgers Devontae Adams style connection. And I can just see the guy balling out. And then as my backup quarterback, to be honest, I had a choice between, it's probably going to sound controversial, between Goff and Stafford, and I took Goff over Stafford.
I mean, it's not a bad pick, to be honest. I mean, people are not expecting like great things from Lions, but they're expecting decent things from him. So, I mean, Goff isn't necessarily a bad pick. In the course of recording this episode, you know, Cup's, you know, struggling still with his hamstring. If Cup's not good to go week one, you know, it's a knock-on effect for the Rams offense, so it might have been a smart move taken. I dealt with Dak as my backup quarterback, and you'd said to me, says, well, hope he doesn't get to the playoffs because that's where, you know, it falls to pieces for him. But I mean, to be honest, I only really need him for the bye week when Mahomes isn't there, I guess.
Yeah.
I usually make the mistake of just drafting without looking at when teams are on bye weeks. I think last year, like in my office, Fantasy Football League, I had about five players all on bye week at the same time. And I think I actually ran with no running backs at all that week and I got absolutely slaughtered. So I was a bit smarter with my picks this year and making sure that I had no more than, I think, two players that were going to win a bye week at the same time. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the Fantasy Football turns out this year, folks. So yeah, we'll be closing that, you know, as the season goes on, and you know, come week 18, we will crown our overall champion. But that about does it for tonight, folks. Thank you so much for everyone to listen. Andy, it was great to catch up with you, mate, and speak to you again. I bet, you know, in a couple of weeks' time, both of us were wishing our heads were still buried in the sand. But for now, good to talk to you and try to get some positivity about the Rams going into this season.
Yeah, you know, I suppose we're just going to have to see, as you say, how this season now plays out. It could be, you know, could be a surprise, or we could be competing for the number one overall spot. And then, it, you know, come the end of the year, it'll be like, who do we want to draft at number one? You know, we just don't know. It's that sort of season where it could go either way, and we're just going to have to. But I will say, if it's a choice between we're absolutely pathetic and we're ending up, you know, with a top two, top three pick, or we end up middle of the pack, you know, nine and eight or eight and nine or whatever, I'd rather we just were pants. I don't want to be sitting in the middle of the pack where you can't get those, you know. I'd rather, if we don't make the playoffs, let's just freaking tank and let's just get a decent pick and, you know, hit the rebuild, a restart straight away with a good pick, rather than going back to the Jeff Fisher, as I said earlier, the Jeff Fisher days where it was average, and you know, if you were scraping a 500 season, it was a good year. I don't want that. I don't want to go through years of that. I'd rather suck and just start scratch next year.
Well, that's it. That's it. It's what. Yeah, I think it's not nice to be negative about it, folks. Right? It was really hard at points last year coming on and talking about the games. It's gonna be a tough one this year. Let's not beat around the bush. But I think, like you said, Andy, let's try to point. If it's going to be a tough year, it's not nice to say because you know what you want to win, you want to succeed, but let's get a couple of wins and then let's just tank the hell out of the season. You know, we'll regroup, we'll have cap space, the dead space will be gone. We can really make a run in it next year. So let's just get through the year. Let's see what the guys in the roster are capable of doing in terms of who we want to keep and what we get rid of next year. And let's just go at it. You know, let's just take this year as the pre-season for the 2024.
Yeah, you know, let's just see. Let's use this year, as you say. Let's see who sticks, who doesn't. Go into next year, you know, and you know, let's just hope that, you know, Cup and AD aren't, you know, thinking of retirement talk and they walk out at the, you know, end of the year because, you know, they've had enough. One thing I have sort of, you know, seen suggested is that, you know, luckily I think Aaron Donald has basically now come out and said he doesn't want to go anywhere else. He wants to stay here. He doesn't want to finish his career at Pitt, you know. So there was all this talk, you know, and even I was kind of on the bandwagon of it as well, that if we're sucking by, you know, trade deadline, that we could just say, stuff it, trade them, get rid of them. You know, we'll get the kit and we'll just complete hit rebuild. It sounds like he doesn't want to do that, which could be a good thing for us. But is that he wants to stay and power on with this rebuild, or is this a case of he's thinking, well, I'm out the league next year anyway, so who cares? You know, we just don't know at the moment.
He's staying for the rebuild and he's staying for another ring, so let's leave it at that. But
yeah, I'll go with that, mate. Sounds good to me.
Let's go with that. But yeah, folks, thank you very much for everyone listening to us. Don't forget that all our podcast episodes this year will be streamed live on YouTube, but will also become available through the usual audio channels for your listening pleasure. We'll do our best to, you know, make it a pleasure. But we will catch us next week, folks, where we'll actually go through and preview the 2023 regular season. So
I tell you what, if the season sucks that bad, we'll have to have you doing karaoke with John to cheer people up.
Nobody wants that, trust me. Nobody wants that. Just before we go, I will say, I used to do a mean James Brown. Like, see like Rocky IV living in America, I used to do a mean James Brown. Like, but that was my younger days. I think I'm more Neil Diamond these days, if I'm going to sing, because I'm getting that bit older. But no one wants to hear that. I'm not doing that. So get the fucking thing out, guys. Let's spare the listeners from listening to John's.
Well, you know what? We were thinking of a forfeit if you came last in your division. Maybe now that might be your forfeit instead of a certain team shirt that you have to wear. Maybe we'll do that instead.
No, it's not happening. I will sing any song you want. Then I'm not wearing one of their jerseys. No way. Anyways, folks, that's enough for tonight, because I'm not going to go on a rant about how much I hate that team, you know, and how members of the UK group tried to troll us the other day. On Twitter, about like fucking finding like draft picks down a sofa. Like, no, I'm cutting this off before I start going off in one.
Yeah,
back and listen to like the 2022 regular season. I had a 10-minute rant, so let's not do that. That's us, folks. Thank you very much for listening. We'll catch you next week for the 2023 season preview. Catch you later.